So you are coming to Atlanta. I feel like describing you as a choreographer doesn't quite capture it.
Well, it's a part of it, certainly a big part of it.
But so much of your personality and the way you interact with the world is so much like a musician.
Yeah, I would certainly say that. Yeah, you can. That's not insulting. That's wonderful.
I mean, do all choreographers read music?
Near zero, I would say. Very, very few. You can make up a dance however you want. I choose to do it this way, but I figure that if you're going to use a piece of music, you should know quite a bit about it. I just think that's logical.
You seem to get a sense of movement out of pieces of music that, to a lot of people, don't suggest dance, like opera or Handel. Is there music out there that you could never choreograph?
Not that I could never choreograph, that I would never choreograph. That, frankly, a lot of music that's written for dance is so just sort of ham-fisted and obvious and, you know, in phrases of eight. And on the other side, of course, there are great dance composers like Tchaikovsky, like Stravinsky, and like almost all Baroque music, which is one reason I'm drawn to Baroque music so much, is because all of those rhythms come from dance itself. So even though maybe, you know, a Bach suite wasn't written to be danced to, the movements are still called a bourrée and an allemande and a gigue, because that's how music was. So to me, that seems very evident and obvious and fascinating, because there's a huge wealth of great music not written specifically to be danced to, but is imminently danceable.
When you're working with your dancers and you're looking for allusions, you make a lot of musical references, especially to opera.
Right. Well, that's because I have a music job. You know, I don't, you know, of course, dancing is visual, but for me, its source is music. And so for me, also, it's a natural extension that I work in opera as a director and choreographer, and that I also do some conducting. And I don't just perform with live music, I rehearse with live music. I have a pianist in the room all day long with me. I don't use recordings for anything. And that gives my dancers themselves an incredible depth of understanding of what they're doing. And instead of just counting and then putting on the same record that everybody has. Well, I'm dating myself with record, but yeah, a record of a performance that's still called a record. So the devices I use, you know, retrograde, fugal, transposition, those are all things that apply equally to dancing and to music. So I'm comfortable in that realm.
Yeah, and you have directed opera. Do you find working with an opera singer terribly different from working with a dancer?
No, they're just as, you know, you have to have terrible self-esteem in order to be in the performing arts. Everybody knows that. No one's sadder than a comedian.
Oh.
So, you know, I say, well, why are you embarrassed doing this in front of me when you're in a job where you're going to be doing it in front of 2,000 people? And, of course, the difference is the lights are out and, you know, you don't see them as individuals. You see them as sort of the public. And that makes it easier for people. But it's also, it gives people a vulnerability and a depth to performing that you only get from having like really terrible self-esteem. So you do what you can and you entertain others. You bring something to other people. It's a very big point of empathy for a really great performers. But as far as, you know, I'm still working for music. So when I work with singers, dancers and singers both have the same problem, like walking on the beat. They can either do nothing else, or they can only, you know, or they can't do that at all. So it's the same problem: walk like this, or don't walk like this. And that's the fundamental approach to any dancing, is based on how human beings move.
I'm sorry, that's really interesting. Say that again. So they can't walk on.
How can I say that again? My God, well, I was just sort of pontificating generally, but
yeah, but a dancer having trouble not dancing and just walking. Is that hard?
Yeah. The first thing, you know, if you say to somebody, like, I don't like the way you walk, that's like saying, like, your life is worthless, you know, because it's so basic. It's like, what do you mean? You know, it's like everybody just does right, left, right, left. And so already, as Merce Cunningham pointed out years ago, a waltz is already a bizarre thing to do because it's three beats and you only have two legs. So it redistributes itself, and that's already choreography.
So in this experience of working with opera or with dancers, ultimately it all goes into your sense of theater.
Yeah, sure it does. I have to like what I'm, I have to at least be engaged by what I'm seeing and hearing, whether I made it up or not. I'm not interested in a show that is just a flat line, you know, that is harmless. And, you know, then I'd rather just go out to dinner than watch a show that I can't escape from.
If you're at a dance show, how often do you find yourself saying, oh, I wish I had thought of that?
Oh, well, if I think that, then I just use it immediately. Of course, like everybody, it's, you know, it's not plagiarism, it's living in the world and noticing things. So, you know, I've occasionally seen a move done, you know, thrown in by another choreographer. It's like, oh God, that's the corniest, worst thing I've ever seen. And then I use it in a different context. And it's, of course, because I did it completely profound and fabulous. But, you know, it's like, it depends on context and point of view. And it doesn't have to be gussied up. It just has to be direct and honest and interesting and related to other people and to music and to the viewer. And, you know, it's not just twiddling one's thumbs, which I'm not doing, in case you're wondering.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention context, because there is like a minute and a half of Pacific, the piece you choreographed to Lou Harrison, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have the sound on, they could be dancing to Tchaikovsky. It looks like you've come up with a very classical kind of dance for something that's 20th century, very heavy-fisted, not overly dissonant, but it's a totally different musical world than Tchaikovsky.
Well, sure. That's on purpose. And Lou Harrison, who wrote that music, who was a very good friend of mine, the bathroom in Lou's house had a life-size painting on the back of the door. When you went to the bathroom, you turned around and there was a fully naked Tchaikovsky standing next to you. So
Lou was a great fan of Pyotr.
Yeah.
Too bad he died before selfies.
No, believe me, no. And but also, you know, like you said, it's a clip on YouTube of a dance, and that, although of course I use many media for their various reasons, and, you know, sometimes just as a paperweight, I'm still fighting very hard for the idea of the living experience in the theater. You know, I expect the dancers and the musicians and the public to all be alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, bits of things which I recommend people to watch, I do, you know, the dance history has expanded enormously because of YouTube. I've seen things that I've always dreamed of watching and couldn't look up in the library. But the other thing is, you know, the Tristan chord in Tristan and Isolde, you have to wait the 3.5-4 hours for it to happen. And so I insist on longer forms. And highlights are great as a reminder and as a tease, but really it takes digging into something a little bit more than that. I'm not chastising you because I do the same thing,
but I'm trying to get
people to the theater.
I've heard you're very reluctant to let journalists come in and watch you work.
Right, because that makes it a performance.
Uh-huh.
And I want to rehearse. And, you know, I do occasionally, but I don't, it's not open house.
I heard you once say that you see people who are really terrific, really talented, who you won't hire.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that doesn't work for a Mark Morris dancer, or what does?
Oh, I don't know. Well, first of all, there are very few legit full-time, I can say modern dance, I guess, or just dance jobs in the United States. There are very few. There are a lot of people prepared, over-prepared, but mostly under-prepared by the various academies that teach dancing. And to compete for very, very few jobs, especially ones that have health insurance like mine do. So I don't need people. The turnover in my company, which averages about 18 dancers, I have people who've been there for 20 years.
Wow.
And that's wonderful. I love that. And I'm always looking for new people. I don't know. I very often don't know what it is that makes me keep somebody in an audition. Sometimes it's someone I've overlooked, and other people in my company say, no, you have to watch her again. She's great. It's like, okay, I will. I think it's not going to work. And then she's, of course, the perfect thing. But it's like a roach motel. You know, you check in, but you don't check out with my company. And it's wonderful. It makes a great sense of loyalty. And, you know, it's a very close-knit and very generous group of people.